from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We're inching closer to game one on August 31st against North Alabama for the Memphis football program. So let's bring on the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach for that Memphis football program, Tim Kramsey, on X at TKramsey19. Coach Kramsey, how's it going, man?
Going great, man. Rolling through camp here day by day. I know you guys, everybody out there in the real world saying how close we are to game time, 2 Saturdays away. We got a lot of work we got to do. It feels like it's a long ways away for us with practice every single day moving forward.
Yeah, I will say this, having gone through 5 separate fall camps, these are the dog days, aren't they? End of the dog days for the guys.
There's no question. Seems like you've been here a long time, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But, day by day we're getting better, getting closer, inching closer. And you can start feeling the excitement as you come in the office every day.
Yeah, how do you keep these guys motivated as you get into the heart of camp, man? You're getting up all early. You have to, get your lift in. You have to do the walkthrough. Then you have obviously there's no two-a-days anymore, even though it's pseudo two-a-days. But how do you keep these guys motivated along the way?
I'll probably say this a whole bunch throughout this interview. We have a senior led team, guys who have been here a long time, guys who have the goal of what they want to do this year. So, I think a sign of a good team is a team where the coaches don't have to do the motivating. They're self-motivating going on. The leaders of the team are doing the motivating. And one of the things I've been very impressed with this fall camp is these guys come in every morning with a smile on their face, with the right attitude to go to work. Now, not every day is perfect, as we all know, but they come in with the right mindset, the right attitude. To me, that's a compliment to the leaders of this team, the guys who have been here for a while.
And it feels like another thing that would be helpful with is not reading all the publications about you, right? You got a lot of expectation, a lot of people writing good things about you. How do you keep them away from that? Keep them sort of one focused? How do you keep them singularly focused on what's ultimately going to happen by the time you get to season?
That works both ways. So, you don't read the good stuff about you. I mean, there's no way to keep them off X or off Twitter. There's no way to keep them off social media. So they're going to read what's out there, and they're going to read the good writings, and they're going to read the bad writings. And we educate them from day one that what you're reading out there has nothing to do with it. No one needs to tell you if you're playing well or not playing well. So they're going to be on there, even though I recommend they don't go on there.
Right.
But they hear it, and you got to stay away from the rat poison and stay focused as a team, stay focused as a unit. Again, that goes back to the leaders of the team that have to keep them focused in that mindset, but you can't buy into what you read either way.
Yep. So how have you felt about the offense, at least at this point through camp, and the performance? I've seen Coach Silverfield, he talked to the media and basically said, you know, penalties have been the big issue through at least the first scrimmage. But what have you felt about where you guys are at right now heading into the season?
Yeah, you know, I like where we're at. I think there's some guys that are showing up. You know, we have the names that everybody knows that's coming back. But then, you know, some of the young guys are stepping up, some of the transfer guys coming in. And to me, that's the hardest part of all this transfer portal thing, is to get the camaraderie of the team.
Yep.
And we have so many new faces on a yearly basis, you know. I mean, some guys have been here for spring, some guys came after spring. So we walked into fall camp. That was the first time we really had the full team here with our freshmen, you know, that didn't come through spring ball and stuff like that. Some of the transfers we got afterwards. So I like where we're at. I think that the older guys are playing well. Older guys are toning things up. We're getting some young guys that are adding some serious depth. And there's, you know, I always tell the offensive players, it's your job to prove to us that you deserve to be on the field. And then once you do that, it's our job to find a way to put you on the field. And I think some guys are really turning some heads and making some noise here.
Now, you know what I have to ask about? I have to ask about offensive line. Now, I did put in my waiver to the NCAA, see if I could get an extra year, but I'd imagine they'll get back to me here relatively soon, whether it's email or phone, and they'll probably tell me no.
No question.
You know, you've already played 5 years. What do you think about this offensive line? Brought in guys like Trent Holler, Jalen Nichols, Kedrell Lewis this past offseason. You have a lot of guys that have played a lot of ball. How have they been faring so far, and what do you feel about the depth of the offensive line?
Yeah, they're coming together. They're doing a really good job. Those guys are all good players individually, but you know, as an O-line guy, you know that it's you know, individual O-line plays, and what it's about five guys playing together. So all those guys, Jalen, Kedrell, Trent, the guys that came in, are really gelling with Xavier and Jonah, who have been here for a little bit. Malachi is doing a good job.
Yep.
As a young guy, he played for us in the bowl game. You know, and sometimes you forget he's still a freshman. You know, realistically a redshirt freshman, but he's done a good job for us. Mitch Gildenhouse played some ball for us last year, added some depth to it. Jonathan Young, Chris Adams, who came over from Old Dominion. So, you know, I've been here going on year three. This is the most depth we've had in the offensive line. It's the most competition we've had in the offensive line, and you know, on both sides of the ball, but specifically on offense that I speak for, we are, you know, I told him just the other day, we're nowhere near saying who's starting and who's playing
right.
The first game and who's at. To let the competition continue through this week and maybe early next week. And then, you know, once you get to that, you know, 10 days out of the first game, that's when you really got to have a set depth.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can start, you know, the five alum can start working together. So Seth knows exactly who he's throwing to, you know, and it's starting to play itself out. But speaking of the O-line, you know, I think in the going into year three, this is the most depth we've had in the offensive line, most competition. There's not one guy up there who's not looking over his shoulder, who thinks he can have an average day and he's going to be okay. So to me, competition makes us all better, and that's huge.
So how many guys do you think up there do you have that you would feel comfortable rolling out there in a starting five going into the game against North Alabama?
Yeah, I'd say there's probably eight guys.
Okay.
You know, you include Mitch Gildenhouse, who played for us last year, and we won a game with Mitch up there. You know, he's played center, he's played both guard positions. So I think there's eight guys that we feel pretty good about going in. And you know, the young guys are taking their strides, don't get me wrong, but there's eight guys who I think are ready to step in and play. So to me, that's huge. That's in offensive line world, I don't care what program you're at, that's a huge number.
Yeah, no,
you feel good about.
No question. I'd like to hear that. And I'm talking with Tim Kramsey, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach for the University of Memphis on X at TKramsey19. Now, there's a lot written about Seth this offseason and really the last couple off seasons with the transfer portal and everything else and, you know, keeping him on campus. We know it's going to be a rarity, especially at this level, to keep a quarterback for 4 years. How much went into that, and how much did your relationship with Seth sort of help facilitate that on the back end? How open were the lines of communication throughout this entire process?
Very open. Him and his father were very open in what they, you know, what was going on and what was happening, and you know, schools reaching out and contacting his dad. I used to always, mess with his dad as a big time, you know, head coach down in Texas. Every coach in the country goes through his office, and I'm assuming the first thing they ask about was Seth Hennigan.
Right.
You know, when they went into his office, and then they got into the players he had in his program. But I think, you know, me and him have a very good relationship. You know, I think in any program where we're at right now, stability is a key. You talk about transfer portal world, but then, you know, sometimes you forget about the coaching carousel that goes on every fall, you know, or every off season. And for us to be able to bring back basically our entire offensive staff, the head coach, the quarterback, myself, you know, that's a huge deal. And, you know, me and Seth are very open as to, you know, what his opportunities were. And, you know, obviously, you know, I always give him, you know, my exact advice as to what I'm thinking. You know, his best interest is at my heart, and I just kept telling him, you know, as who you are, you know, this is the best place for you. You and me together is the best place for you. We're bringing Rock back. We're bringing guys back you played with. Coach Stillfield, you know the program. You know, it's hard for any quarterback to go into another program and be successful with, you know, all new receivers, new system, new everything. And, you know, that's kind of what it came down to. And then once all of us decided, you know, this is the place we're going, there was no looking back. And right now that's... to me, stability is a huge part of where we can go this season is because of that.
Yeah, does the way that this whole thing operates, you know, with Seth getting reached out to, that type of thing, and really other guys on the roster getting reached out to potentially go elsewhere, does that frustrate you, or is that something you just put to the side and say, screw it, we have to deal with it, we have to move forward?
It's the way college football is in 2024. It's what everybody wanted, and it's what everybody got. So, you know, it does not frustrate you. It requires you, and I think Coach Sofa does a tremendous job of this, it requires you to re-recruit the guys in your program every single year and get a hold of their parents and talk to their parents and talk to their guardians and the ones who are decision makers and all that. And to me, that's just the way college football is. So you can complain about, you know, anything in the world when policies and rules change. You can complain about it, or you can find a way to adapt it and take advantage of it and use it as a strength. And to me, the fact that Coach Stillfield and the rest of the staff could keep the main players here talks a lot about what's going on in this program and the culture that Coach Stillfield has built.
Now, the big conversation for this team, you know, heading into the season is really going to be about the defense, right? And I thought, you know, what Coach Hankins did in that AutoZone Liberty Bowl was phenomenal. Holding Iowa State to 0 yards rushing, you know, that was great stuff. Now, how much, you know, as opposed to years past, how much has it changed on that side of the ball? Has it been a lot more sort of pushback in camp when you get into scrimmaging, when you get into sort of the open periods? Has there been a lot more pushback from that defense?
Yeah, a lot of give and take. A lot of, I always joke with Coach Silford as a head coach, man, he's going to be bipolar. You know, he's so happy for the offense on one play, and then he's mad at the defense, and then two plays later, he's happy for the defense, he's mad at the offense. So to me, you know, it's been great competition. There's been, you know, like some back and forth. The situations they've won, situation we won. But the big thing is the competition is tremendous right now. With both offense and defense and the togetherness and the camaraderie. So naturally, boys are going to be boys. There's going to be people mad at each other when you run into each other and you hit each other all day long. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But the for lack of better terms, the friendly competition that's going on right now, and understanding that we're all in this for the same goal, is another thing that I've been very impressed with this team, because I've been in programs and been on teams where that's not the case. Yeah. It's offense on this side, defense on that side, and that's just how it is. And that's not this case. And we're going to battle each other. We're going to compete in practice. We're going to get after each other. You know, we as coaches are going to jaw back and forth to each other. Players are going to jaw back and forth to each other. But when we get together and break that huddle after practice, you know, we're all on the same page. We're all in it for the one goal.
Now, holler at me about, so last year you talked about the Chicago O'Hare Airport theory. Are you still operating like that with Seth?
That's every day. Every day, and that's what me and him preach about every single day. I say to him all the time, you got one play at a time for the rest of your life. You know, I always try and educate him and all the guys I coach that this game of football is one thing, but I'm trying to teach you about the game of life as well, and that statement goes past the game of football. But That's what Seth has to do, and I think he does a tremendous job of that. I talk about the Chicago airport, but at the same time, we all know you're never going to play the perfect game. And I think one thing that everyone always asks me, what has changed over 3 years? And to me, that's something he's been able to do, and it's part of maturity, it's part of growth, it's part of development. But when I first met him, he put so much demand on himself that a mistake that happened sometimes carried over to the next play or the play after that, and it kind of snowballed a little bit. There was some points at early last year and off season last year where that stopped, and he was able to snap out of a bad play and come back and just play the next play. And to me, that's what we preach, that's what we talk about, because that's what this game of football is. If you think you're going to be perfect, ain't going to happen. If you think you're just going to roll every drive and every play, like I joke about, man, those guys on defense, they have scholarships too. They're good players. Sometimes they're going to make a play on you, and as long as you never make the same mistake twice, and then you're getting better. And that's the thing I've seen from him, and that's what we preach about, is just playing the next snap. I always tell every team, it's hard to play the perfect game, but it's not hard to play the next play perfectly, and that's all we got to do for the rest of our lives.
So holler at me, though, real quick. Let my listeners know what the Chicago O'Hare Airport theory is.
It's talking about playing the perfect game.
Right.
As quarterbacks, we got to be perfect. We touch the ball every single play. We have to be perfect. I tell them that the success of the offense is dependent upon the success of themselves. And if we do it right, then things are going to be just fine. So we talk about playing perfect because and related to the Chicago O'Hare Airport, because if the air control tower, Chicago O'Hare Airport, was 99.9% efficient, there would be 3 crashes per day.
Yeah. That wouldn't be good.
99.9.
They get shut down pretty quickly.
99.9 doesn't cut it. We got to be perfect. We got to be 100%. Like I say, you could play 80 plays perfectly as a quarterback and mess up and throw a pick on that last play, and all X is going to talk about, and all Twitter's going to talk about, and all that stuff's going to talk about is that last play, period, bottom line. That's the way life is a quarterback. It's not a stressful thing. That's what we signed up for. That's what we chose to do. So, every play is going to be deciding on what's going on and what your game's going to look like.
Now, one thing that I find interesting about your messaging, that you've told the media this, but you also clearly are talking to Seth behind the scenes about this. You're saying this is a legacy building year for him. You're not shying away from that. Obviously, some built-in pressure could be, behind that type of messaging if you're giving that to Seth. But at the same time, has that been sort of on the forefront? This is your legacy building year. These next 3 to 4 months, this is how you build your legacy at the University of Memphis. Obviously, he's, the school leader in passing yards. He's been able to break all these records. But now it's time for winning. It's time to get over top, go win an AAC championship.
And that's the goal. That's the plan. That's what we talk to the team about. So,
right.
Yes, these next 6 months will determine a big part of your life, and it'll determine what are you willing to sacrifice to get where we want to go. So again, with Seth as a mature kid and an older kid and a veteran, the guy that we've been with for 3 years, there's nothing that he stresses out about. So for me to be able to say that's the way he thinks, that's the way I think, that's the way I put the pressure I put on myself with what we're doing this year. So to me, it's not a stressful thing for Seth. It's something he signed up for a long time ago. It's something through his dad of growing up in the field house and being a high school quarterback down in Texas. It's something he's done every single year. That's just the way it is. What we play on, what we do on Saturdays in the fall will determine our legacy, will determine who we are as a person, will determine how people talk about us, and it will determine our livelihood. And that to me, again, in the quarterback room, in the offensive coordinator room, that's not pressure. That's not a source of stress. That's what we do on a daily basis.
Yep.
And if we're right, the team's going to be right. If we're wrong, the team's going to be wrong. That's something we signed up for a long, long time ago.
Yep. Now, final couple of things for the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach at the University of Memphis, Tim Kramsey, on X at TKramsey19. What do you think? We have this house versus NCAA stuff, and obviously you're not being able to focus on it right this second. But the scholarship limits, it looks like you're going from or not scholarship limits, I should say, but roster limits. Going from 120 to 105, looks like you're going to have 105 scholarships if you opt into that settlement. It looks like a sort of an elimination of walk-ons. What do you think about the changing roster at this level and how much it's going to affect the way you team build going forward?
Yeah, you know, like everything in life, yeah, you have to take everything one day at a time. The NCAA is making a lot of new rules and making a lot of new rules very quickly and changing the landscape of college football. And you can look back at it and complain about it. You can look back at it and get upset about it, or you could figure out how to make it work in your advantage and continue it. In all seriousness, that's the game. That's a game that we have to play as coaches. It's going to change a lot of things for us. It's going to force us to be very good with our evaluations out of high school. It's going to be, you know, very good with our evaluations out of the portal. It's going to make it even more important to keep the team that you have in-house after the season. It's going to force you as head coaches, which I'm not, but as coaches, again, like I said before, the stability of a program is what makes a program you know, good or bad. It's going to determine what a program is, the stability of the program. If you have a bunch of turnover with coaches and a bunch of turnover with players, that's going to negatively affect your program. If you can keep everybody in-house and keep everybody happy in-house and then be great evaluators in the portal and great evaluators out of high school, I do think, you know, some of these lower, you know, cutting down some of the players on the team is going to force you to be very good evaluators at high school and do a good job in high school recruiting. So to me, that's the game. Is it going to change it? Of course. But you got to be able to adapt. You got to be able to improvise. You got to be able to overcome anything that goes on. And to me, again, I'm going to go back to it, the stability and keeping people who are in your program, in your program. That to me is going to be a tell as to who are the top teams and, you know, in the country down the road.
Now, last quick thing. A lot of you guys have been playing College Football 25. Have you been able to go look at your playbook in College Football 25? That's what I really want to know. Do you think they've dumbed it down, or do they need to add some things? Have we been able to check that out?
We checked it out a little bit. We have it at home. I got a fifth grader, sixth grader boys at home. So we've been playing it. They've been hitting me up on it. They play with Memphis. They have a lot of fun with it, man. So it's cool. It's fun. And they keep asking, do you have this play in? Now, what does get me sometimes is sometimes our players come in. Hey, coach, I saw the halfback pass in the playbook.
You're like, okay, relax. Relax. Take it easy.
What playbook? He's like, oh, the playbook on College Football 25.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. Got it. I don't know if that was in our playbook.
Yeah, you have your left tackle walking up to you. I saw a left tackle screen on there. I saw a double pass with the left tackle. Where's that at?
No,
come on.
Question,
they promised,
man,
me that. Promised me that you ran that.
Yep, I'll tell you though, man. It probably is fun for them to go home and play. And I know a lot of our other quarterbacks in the room have benched since Seth Hennigan in the game and started playing themselves.
That's beautiful stuff. You got to play with yourself. I mean, you got to. Well, that's a little wording. I'll be careful with my wording there. But you got to play. If you're in the game, why wouldn't you play as yourself?
There's no question. Absolutely. So they have a lot of fun. And the thing we get a little concerned about is coaches that, hey, some point you got to put the controller down and go to bed, man.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but
sure.
I could imagine how fun that is, man.
Yeah. Do you have those guys staying up in a dorm right now with each other, or are they staying at home?
No, we don't have them in the. You know, they stay in their apartments. They stay in their places. They're not. It's not like old school where you used to put everybody up in the same dorm for so long. So
yeah. Yeah, I remember. There's no question about it.
We have them up here most of the day.
Yeah, for sure.
They're up here most of the day. They get a break.
But also with that, that's a lot. There's more trust built into that, right? Like that, with certain teams, you would definitely have to throw them in a dorm we're building it up. But again, you talked about it being a senior-laden team, so you guys have that trust. Hey, you guys can go back home. We completely have that understanding.
Yeah, if you as coaches are running around trying to get guys, you know, doing the right thing and not going to certain places during fall camp, then you got bigger problems.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to have success if the kids are doing what they're supposed to do and go home and take their naps during the day, do whatever they got to do during the day, and then get home and go to bed at nighttime and come back. The NCAA has taken off field time for us in fall camp, but you can still meet with them and walk and all that. And to me, that's just as important. So, but if you're chasing kids around on doing the wrong things, then you're in the your program's in a bad state. We're nowhere near that. Our guys are where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there.
Yeah. Now I may need to make it up. You got a scrimmage coming up this Saturday at the Liberty Bowl. First one at the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah. We had one this past weekend here, and then we have one on Saturday over at the Liberty Bowl, or whatever is left of the Liberty Bowl right now.
Yeah. Right. How do you guys feel about that? How do the players feel about that sort of the half stadium idea?
Yeah, you know what? We haven't brought it up much. We haven't talked about it a whole lot. It'll be interesting when we get there and start playing games. But you know, like we talk about every place, there's sometimes you go on the road and you play in a atmosphere that isn't very loud, not a lot of fans in it. Sometimes you play in an atmosphere like we did with Missouri last year, where there's a whole bunch of people there. So to me, once you get on the field and start playing, you're focused on that 120 yard field, 53 and a third wide, and that's what you're focused on. So it'll be good to get into Liberty Bowl though and get a good scrimmage going, because we got a lot of new guys.
Yep.
And this was brought up in one of our meetings the other night. There's a lot of guys on our team right now who we're counting on who have never run out the tunnel of the Liberty Bowl. You know, and to me, that's part of college football that sometimes people forget about.
Yep, 100%. Now I need to maybe hit up Silverfield, Coach Silverfield, see if I can get a credential for this weekend. Come see what you guys are up to. I'll say what's up. But Coach Gramsci, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on. Thanks for carving out some time.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. That's Tim Gramsci, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach for the University of Memphis. He's on X at TGramsci19. Now, on that note, we need to go ahead and transition up out of here. And we'll go ahead and hop into the Blitz coming up next. Few stories to discuss as we do every single day right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, what we got?
Will Levis and Hellman's Mayo got in the lab and cooked up something with the new marketing scheme. They have launched Parfum De Mayonnaise, a mayonnaise cologne, and it's listed at $8.
All right. Know what's hilarious? I was at SEC Media Days when I was at my old place the year that Will Levis came through and put mayo in his coffee. And at that point, it's just like, okay, this is just a little bit. Let's move on. He has latched onto this damn bit, and we're still talking about it at this point. There's no chance that he puts mayo in his coffee every morning when he wakes up and he's about to go to training camp. He has just latched onto this bit, and now, listen, I give him a little credit. He has made money off of it. But Parfum de Mayonnaise, Will Levis number 8. It's being sold on his site, willlevisnumber8.com. I did some research on this. Know what really bothered me? It's sold out.
Oh, God.
If I catch any of you people out in public wearing mayonnaise cologne, I'm going to throw hands with you. That is disgusting. That is just an abomination, an absolute abomination. Now, I guess, if you're a Titans fan, it's kind of a collector's item because it's like, this is never going to be done again. And also, it's $8. I could go get a bottle of Axe for, $8. Like, it's very cheap. It's like Bodman fragrance spray. Like, this is a cheap-ass cologne that you should not wear. Just keep it in the box if you want to use it and sell it later in life if you think it's going to be worth something, which it probably won't. But I also did a little bit of study on what the fragrances are, and obviously mayonnaise is the main one. But fragrance notes, tart lemon. The fragrance opens with a bright, zesty burst of tart lemon that provides a refreshing and clean introduction.
That's what you want to hear from cologne, tart.
Then they move on to the mayonnaise accord. At the heart of the fragrance lies a daring mayonnaise accord. The creamy and slightly tangy note adds an unexpected twist, mirroring Will Levis's bold personality. The mayonnaise accord provides a rich, smooth texture to the fragrance, making it intriguingly complex and memorable. Yeah, it'll be memorable, all right. You're going to smell like absolute garbage. They also have parsley, coffee undertones, and this is where I just got disgusted. Okay, this is mayonnaise cologne, just so we're clear, that we're talking about, that Will Levis and Hellman's have come together on. They put a little spot for musk. This is what they wrote down about the musk that you get off of Will Levis number 8, Parfum de Mayonnaise. It's a sensual musk base It weaves through the composition, providing a soft, lingering allure. This classic note evokes the physicality of an athlete. That's disgusting. Just the physicality of an athlete in a perfume or a cologne, leaving a lasting impression that is both powerful and sophisticated. This is gross. I mean, right? Like, that's the only way I can put it. This is disgusting.
Gabe, have you ever seen the classic film Spy Kids 2?
I have. It's been a while. It's been a long while.
Do you think God stays in heaven because he too lives in fear of what he's created here on earth?
Probably so. This is another example of, you know, meteor. It just had
we're ready.
Earth.
We're ready.
I think we have earned this.
We are far past our prime. This is warnings of the apocalypse. I think it may actually say that one of the four horsemen is a mayonnaise perfume or a cologne. I think that might be in there.
I think that's in scripture.
That's in scripture. That is correct. Yes. You know, maybe he could wear it while he's playing so people won't want to tackle him. Maybe that's the whole idea behind this.
I have no earthly idea. No, the whole idea behind it is to make more money and have people buy helmets.
Unfortunately, it's working exactly how they had hoped because
he sold out.
A bunch of dummies are out there. Listen, if you want to buy mayonnaise cologne, just send me your money and I'll put mayonnaise in a bottle for you.
And can I also just say this? Just generally speaking, if a cologne is $8, probably not worth buying.
I don't wear cologne like that, brother. As someone who prides themselves on being told that they smell good every once in a while.
I'm a cologne guy.
We can be honest about this.
I have my daily wear, and then I have the stuff that, like, for nice occasions.
Listen, it's time to do some humble bragging here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. And by humble bragging, I mean straight up bragging.
Best smelling show?
Easily the best smelling show.
Yes.
Like, sometimes we walk into these booths or studios, and, you know, it's like an animal's been in there for a few hours. That is not present when you and I walk in or leave these areas. We are good smelling men, and we pride ourselves on it. And unfortunately, the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, I'm not sure I can say the same. I will say, all of a sudden, maybe they are a bottom five team. You know, I can't trust the judgment. How are the official cologne of the Tennessee Titans, how are this guy's pre-snap reads going to be when he's focused on mayonnaise? When you've got mayo on the brain, are you reading the defenses correctly? Are you sliding their line correctly?
The other part of this too is they did make a little commercial where he's like whispering.
It's a great commercial. I hate it.
It's hilarious, but it is just ridiculous. It's just so unbelievably ridiculous. So I'm going to end this by saying, if I catch any of you people out there in public wearing parfum de mayonnaise.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We will exchange fisticuffs.
You're just going to smell like pepper spray next, because I'm going to be spraying you with it to get you the hell away from me.
Nasty All right, asses.
Front Office Sports is reporting that the first episode of Hard Knocks with the Chicago Bears drew the show's most viewed premiere night in 5 years. Episode 2 dropped last night. What have you thought?
I've been blown away. I've been very happy with it. You get to see Caleb Williams. You get to see Roma Dunsey. You get to see some of these new faces that we don't hear from all that often. The Jalen Johnson experience is one that's insane, because this is a guy who wasn't on the NFL Top 100, but he was first-team All-Pro last year. But to see sort of how they react, interact behind closed doors is nice, because they have a lot of young players and a lot of new faces that have to gel really quickly, and it seems like they're doing that. Have you been able to catch any of the episodes yet?
I have not. Okay. I have not. I'm way behind.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, last night's episode, this was interesting to me. Caleb Williams studies, this is what they do, I guess, the best quarterbacks in the world. They study the officiating crew they're going to go talk to and be around for each particular game. So that second game when Caleb Williams ended up starting, he had to sit down with Matt Eberflus and his offensive coordinator to realize that Craig Rolstead has a crew. Craig Rolstead, they even had his bio in there, so he knew what to relate with him on. Apparently, he had to learn that he was the AD at Seattle Christian School. That's what he does on the side while he's an NFL official. So, like, that's pretty interesting to me. They study these guys.
Okay.
And they ask, how often are you going to be around them? I think that's a little added sort of thing. I bet Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, all the best quarterbacks in the world have done that. Roma Dunsey, last night we saw his performance in front of the team. What would your song of choice in front of a football team, if you had to do that and you were doing your rookie hazing, what would you pick?
Probably something Michael Jackson, Prince.
Okay.
Something along those
lines. Yeah, that would be a hit. He did Kiss Kiss by T-Pain. I didn't realize.
That's acceptable.
I didn't realize how much of a hit it was going to be. Because, I mean, I think T-Pain... Like, when we look at his...
Well, when did that come out, Kiss Kiss? Like, 2007,
2008?
No, it was before
then.
Yeah.
Really?
Kiss Kiss was early in Chris Brown.
It was before 2010, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I can... Let me.
And listen, T-Pain's got he's got a long list of songs that you could go into the well for, right? But I was surprised it was that much of a hit. That blew me away.
2007, you were right.
2007, yeah, I was going to say. I thought I was right there. Like the sort of ending
12,
days of my middle
old.
School career.
Yeah, I was 12 or 13.
It was a hit, though. It was an absolute hit.
It was a hit.
Absolute hit. And T-Pain was just giving them out.
Well, and you had the radio introduction that they did on the song. Absolute classic.
Yeah, Nappy Boy Radio. Yeah, no, I hear you. Jalen Johnson, I already mentioned him being outside of the NFL Top 100, which was stupid because he was a first-team All-Pro. He might be a top 10, arguable top 5 cornerback in the NFL, because I was watching episode 2, and Keenan Allen, their new addition at wide receiver, probably one of the best separators in the league. He's had 100 receptions multiple times in his career. He has been phenomenal with the Chargers for the first, 8 or 9 years of his career. Apparently, up until that episode aired, Keenan Allen had not gotten a catch.
Oh, my God.
When he was lined up against Jalen Johnson. Yes.
Wow.
He finally got one. But think about one-on-ones, how much that, you know, when you have a one-on-one situation, quarterback throwing the ball to the wide receiver, that favors the wide receiver in a big way, because the cornerback can't hold on, grab and hold for dear life, and you're out there on an island. He caught one ball. He has caught one ball on camera against Jalen Johnson. That's nuts. And then finally... This sort of goes with the Parfum de Mayonnaise. DJ Moore brought his family to the Museum of Ice Cream in Chicago, which next time I go to Chicago,
I'll be there.
I think I need to go figure that out. It looks pretty cool.
I'll be there.
But this was diabolical. They have a Chicago dog that they put on a pink bun with hot dog ice cream that they put right down the middle of the bun, and they put relish and everything on it. That's diabolical.
I almost just threw up in my mouth.
Listen, I wanted to go to the Museum of Ice Cream as soon as I saw him walk in. As soon as I saw them pull that stunt, though, it made me second guess. It made me start thinking about
things. I am now going to go to this museum to commit assault upon the person who came up with the idea for hot dog ice cream. No, absolutely not. Hot dog by itself, great. Ice cream by itself, tremendous.
Yes.
Together?
Hot dog ice cream, hell no. Get that the hell out of my face.
But no, thank you.
Chicago people in Chicago are very like, and I've talked about this with like Jeff and with you as well, they're very particular about their hot dogs. You know what I mean? Like, they're hot dog snobs, and I feel like that's one of the few things in this world we should not be snobs.
New York's
about.
Got pizza, Chicago's got dogs, we got barbecue.
Yes, yes, that is true. But what we got next?
I really don't want to talk about this next story, but Juan Soto had a 3-home run game last night. 3 of 4, 3 home runs, accounted for all 4 of the Yankees' runs, and a 4-1 win over the White Sox. If you beat the White Sox, is it even a win, though?
Well, if you have 3 home runs, you go 3 for 4 with 3 home runs, account for all of the RBIs, and you win 4-1, it means something for Juan Soto. He won that game by himself. But that was unreal to see. I think it's the 37th time in Yankees history, and they've had a lot of sluggers, 37th time in Yankees history that someone's hit 3 home runs in a game. But I was looking through Juan Soto's stats, and it's crazy to me. Like, he's kind of under the radar in a lot of ways this year, but he's top 5 in slugging percentage, OPS, average, home runs, runs, walks, and on-base percentage in Major League Baseball. And he's tied for 6th in RBI. And the reason he's under the radar right now, Connor, and I know you hate hearing me talk about the Yankees in this way and, like, give them praise, but the reason he's under the radar, if it weren't for Aaron Judge, we'd be infatuated with Juan Soto this year and the performance he's putting out there. But have you seen, like, Aaron Judge and where he stands in the league? Like, on all, just in everything? He's so close to a triple crown. He's 1st in home runs and RBIs. He only trails Bobby Witt Jr. in average. I think Bobby Witt's at 349, Aaron Judge at 332. But get this, he's 1st in home runs, RBIs, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, and walks. 1st in all of those categories.
Wow.
That's mind-blowing. Now, I did also have to go in and look at the standings because this kind of blew me away. Yankees are 71-50, pacing really well. They're in a fight in the AL East with the Orioles at 70-50. And the AL East race is going to be nuts. Sorry, the Red Sox are going to be out of this thing.
They're wild card. If they get in, it's wild card.
But because there's no real difference between like remaining strength of schedule, Orioles are 21st, Yankees are 26th, this is going to be really fun to watch down the stretch of the season. But I can't make sense of how the Guardians have paced themselves to the best team in the MLB, the Guardians. Like, that, what?
Aren't we, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that I saw that we are actually on pace this year in the MLB to potentially have a season where there is no one that wins 100 games.
Yeah, yeah, that's
true. So
sort of
everybody's just kind of
meh
this year? Yeah.
Although,
which I guess is actually shows
I wonder
that
what
parity
the,
is.
I wonder what the Dodgers
good.
Are going to do. They're right around 70 wins,
yeah.
But they have all their whole starting rotation.
Right, they're
back.
Getting back the reinforcements.
Should,
right,
they should get really hot by the end of the season. But it's going to be really hard still to break through that 100 game mark. But I can't really make sense how the Guardians have done this. I went and looked at their stats: 17th in batting average, 13th in home runs. So it's not like their lineup's doing that much. So you look at pitching, and then they're 7th in ERA, and you're like, well,
pretty good.
It's good, but it's like that gets you 1st with the lineup not really producing all that much. That gets you to 1st in Major League Baseball. But then I finally got to it. You get to the bullpen. Then
oh,
you
lights
see it.
Out.
You're screwed when you get to the back half of a game and you're down against the against the Guardians. 2.76 ERA as a bullpen. They have 41 saves, 37 from Emmanuel Clase, who is the best closer in baseball. He only has 3 blown saves. And did you see his ERA? Have you seen his ERA?
No.
0.64 ERA.
Oh, my God.
Through this year. So that's the only way you can make sense of the Guardians. But I still have a hard time believing they're going to be able to pace their way through the rest of the regular season and still be at that top spot in Major League Baseball.
It's a weird year in baseball. Not a bad year. Just weird.
Just weird. Very, very weird.
After his canceled fight with Michael Chandler, Dana White says Conor McGregor will not fight in 2024.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me in the slightest. Man, when you're waking up in those silk sheets, it's hard to really go fight for your life in a damn octagon consistently. Hadn't fought since 2021 against Dustin Poirier when he was knocked out. At the beginning of the end for him, I mean, we could date it back to the Khabib fight when all of the raucous, like all the extracurriculars were really the story where they're fighting outside of the ring and he got suspended for some time. We could say that was the beginning of the end. I think the real beginning of the end was that January 23rd, 2021 fight against Dustin Poirier when he just you know, got knocked the hell out, tried to run it back, broke his ankle. It's just like, man, at some point, this is a $120 million man. I know that he can still sell out arenas. I know he's still a massive draw. But as a fighter, when you have shrunk in the biggest moments as of late, do we really care that much? Do we? How many more times can we run Conor McGregor out there to lose against good competition before we stop caring about Conor McGregor fighting in the octagon? I think it's time for him to really just focus on the business side of things. He's doing well with his proper 12 whiskey. He's making money away from the UFC.
He has
octagon.
A film career.
Yeah. Seriously, like. There just comes a point where just be Conor McGregor, and we don't really need to worry about you fighting in the UFC. Because I do think, like, truthfully, and I really mean what I said off the top of this, this is a guy who came from not much in Ireland and sort of fought for his life in the UFC to become the main draw that he was. But now, dude, you're waking up in silk sheets, you got the nicest clothes, you're wearing, you know, Balenciaga, and you have your, all these different brands on all the time. You're the richest fighter.
Mayonnaise cologne.
You're the richest fighter in UFC history. There just comes a point where you just don't have that same fire that you had in your belly coming up through the ranks. I think that fire is gone. Is gone.
Well, in fighting, we see it with all of the greats in the UFC and with boxing. When it's over, it's over. And to be quite honest,
but you know what I hate about
much interest in seeing him getting rolled out to get his ass kicked.
What I hate about combat sports,
it's not fun to watch.
What I hate about combat sports is besides Floyd Mayweather, and he's still kind of kicking around, still fighting people for whatever reason. Besides Floyd Mayweather, these guys don't go out on top. You should learn from it. Muhammad Ali didn't go out on top. Mike Tyson got his ass kicked by the end of the whole thing. Anderson Silva, who is a legend of the game in the UFC, he's doing celebrity boxing at this point. Like, there just comes a point where I know that this is your whole identity and you've been doing it for so long, but I think moving on, business ventures, moving into the future is the best way for a lot of these guys to move on with their lives. Yeah, I hate that combat sports, like, these guys are just so hard-headed. They're so stubborn.
I wonder, what could it possibly be?
I guess, man.
Disrupting their decision-making process.
I get it. I understand.
I wonder.
I understand.
What it could be.
I understand. But, like, it's so rare to see someone go out on top. And it's like, why do we... Like, there's so many examples of legends of boxing and MMA just getting their ass kicked. By the end of their career, you feel like they would learn at some point.
Again, I wonder why. No, it's the paychecks. It's like, you know, and that's why, unfortunately, I'm not going to be surprised if we see him cash in for one more big fight, and then maybe he'll hang them up. I will say a video came out of him last week at a bar, and, like, he looked kind of rough.
Well,
it didn't,
this
you
is
know,
what,
not in fighting shape, I'll say
is,
that.
This is the other part of it. If you were wondering about, like, that fire in his belly that I already mentioned, he gets his fight canceled with Michael Chandler,
mm-hmm.
and he's out drinking beer at the bar, having a good old time. And it's like he's not even thinking about rescheduling that fight. Michael Chandler was ready to reschedule
it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And move forward.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I think there's something wrong with it when you have the other opponent, your opponent, still in the gym thinking that you're going to reschedule the fight, and you have no intention of rescheduling the fight.
I see.
You're just at the bar drinking beer, enjoying time with your family and friends.
I'm saying there's nothing wrong with him just wanting to be like, that life is no longer what I'm living.
No. That's what I want him to do.
Right.
But I think we're on the steps there. We're on the steps there, but Dana says he'll fight again. That was part of this. He said he's not going to fight in 2024, but he will fight again. Again, if he fights, I will buy the pay-per-view and I will watch, but I don't really think that the end result of said fight is going to go his direction, especially if he's fighting someone with a pulse.
Do you think I could sell him Parfum de Potato?
De potato.
Irishman to Irishman.
Yeah.
Connor to Connor. OR to OR.
Parfum de whiskey. Parfum de proper 12.
That is kind of cologne. Some colognes.
It's just that musk.
Yeah, trying
it
to smell like
nice
bourbon.
Musk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that'll do it for the Blitz. Let's go ahead and wrap up this show next with a Rewind Rider.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.